If asked to describe humanity with one phrase, what would it be? I'm sorry. Is it doing it on your screen? Can you see a shadow of everything to come? That screen there has a shadow of every word I'm about to say. And this is the only slide choice I've ever made where it does that. And it just threw me off. I thought it was all up there. If you had to describe humanity in one word, what would it be? Pardon? Unpredictable, certainly that'd be a good one. Hard-headed was the one that Lynn and I chose yesterday to describe part of humanity. But if I had to choose one to describe all of us, I think self-centered would get really close to the core of who we are. And if you think about it, it's been that way since the beginning. God says, look, I'm going to give you one rule other than be fruitful and multiply. Don't eat of the tree. And so what do we as a self-centered group of beings do? I want that. And so I'm not going to worry about what God says. I'm going to fulfill my desire. It's going to be about me. And nothing has changed. We live in a world that preaches it's all about me. In every aspect of our lives, and one that has jumped off the pages to Braden and me in the last few weeks, has been the drama going on in the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room, because we're huge Steeler fans. They've got the best running back in the NFL, but he wants to be paid for that, and he wants to be paid as the second best wide receiver in the NFL. So he's asking for $17 million a year, and it's all about him. It doesn't matter what it's costing the rest of the team, and how frustrating that is as a fan to realize that we're going to have to let that talent walk next year, because no man's worth that kind of money. But that's what we preach. According to a recent study, millennialists, and that's those born from 82 to 2004, spend 1 hour a week posting their selfies. That group will average over their lifetime 25,700 selfies. That's a lot of picture taking. And that's a lot of picture taking of yourself and putting it out there to see what kind of response you're going to get from somebody else. By the way, it's not just, if you've ever watched one of these people do it, it's not just take a picture and post it. You got to take a picture, you got to edit it, you got to caption it, you got to emote it, and then you have to figure out that your lipstick's not right, or one eye's a little more closed than the other, or you got a hair off center, and so you have to retake it, and you have to recaption it, and you have to finally post it. Even outside of that age group, as a culture as a whole, we average 1,000 selfies posted every 10 seconds. 93 million of them a day. In 2015, there were more deaths in the world caused by the search for the perfect selfie than there were by shark attacks. Can you say idiotic? Can you say self-centered to the point of it being a detriment to your own life? Guess what? Young people, those of us that are old, I've got news for you. It is not about you. It is not about me. This world, regardless what we want to believe, does not revolve around us. I'm going to give you a biblical example, and it's all going to come from the book of Jeremiah. So turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. I want you to watch this. The book is named after Jeremiah. It's named after the weeping prophet. The subtitle, if yours carries subtitles, probably says something like Jeremiah's call and commission, or the prophecy of Jeremiah. It's going to recount the beginning of his work in Judah. But God is going to make sure before Jeremiah chapter 1 is over with that Jeremiah understands it's not about you. It's not about you, Jeremiah. It doesn't matter whose name's on the book. It doesn't matter whose story is telling. Jeremiah, it's all about me as God. 30 times in the first 19 verses, we're going to see someone else other than Jeremiah referenced. Words like Lord, God. When God is speaking, He'll say I. He'll say me. He is making it clear to Jeremiah that it's not about Jeremiah. And it's not about us. In fact, in this chapter, he's going to emphasize three things. Jeremiah, it's about my work. Jeremiah, it's about my word. And Jeremiah, it's about my help. Let's look at those. Number one, God's word. It wasn't about Jeremiah because it was the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah. Verse 4, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, skipping down to verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me saying, verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Verse 14, then the Lord said to me, Jeremiah, I'm about to commission you as a prophet. You're going to spend the rest of your life in Judah preaching your heart out, but I want you to understand not a single time that you're preaching does the word have anything to do with you. It's what I am giving you. Jeremiah even tells us in verse 9 that I didn't have to come up with what I was supposed to say. God touched my lips. God gave me the message that I am supposed to deliver. And if you read through the book and you watch Jeremiah, not once does Jeremiah ever try to draw attention to himself and his words. There's no ego involved with Jeremiah. It is God's word that he is going to deliver. And the thing is, nothing's changed. But you can't tell that in a lot of the pulpits in America. We've changed the message to what makes us comfortable. We've changed the message to what makes us feel good. We've changed the message so that it's about me and it's about us and it's about what we want. And yet it's still God's word that we're supposed to deliver. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and patience. Timothy, you're not at liberty, even though you're inspired, even though I've laid my hands on you, to change the message. The message was delivered by God through the prophets, through the apostles, through Christ Jesus, written down, preserved for us until today. And so it's never going to change. What we tell the world about salvation is the exact same thing they were told on the day of Pentecost. We can't change that. What we tell the world about the organization of the church or the worship of the church is never going to change. In Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27, as Paul is about to part ways with some men that have come to mean a tremendous amount to him in his time at Ephesus, he makes an amazing statement. He said, I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men, because I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose or the whole counsel of God. Paul said, in the time that I was there, I delivered to you the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And he said, I can leave here, and if there are souls that are lost, it is not on my hands. Because I delivered the truth to you. You see, it's only God's word that can save, Romans 1 and verse 16. So understand, as we go out into the world as missionaries on a daily basis, it's not about me. It's not about you, and it's not about what, in a sense, I want the world to know. It's what God wants the world to know. It's God's message. It's God's word. And if I don't want the blood of the world on my hands, it's this message that I have to deliver. If I'm delivering anything else, I'm going to be answerable. Whether it be from the pulpit, or it be in our Bible classes, or it be with our children in our homes, or if it be some co-worker, or some random person on the street that stops to listen to the gospel. Jeremiah's message was the word of God, and so is ours. Number two, God tells Jeremiah in chapter 1, Jeremiah, it's not about you because it's my work that you're doing. God commissioned the work. God laid out the plan. God designed the steps that Jeremiah was to take. Verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, you have a work that I'm giving you from the beginning. I'm equipping you for it. Now go do the work. Verse 7, he's going to speak for God. The Lord said to me, don't go around saying I'm too young to do this. Everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. And you know, Jeremiah says, well, I'm a young man, I can't handle this. God says, don't worry, it's my work. But the work I'm giving you, I understand it's difficult. It's a message of doom and it's a message of hope. You're about to go out and you're going to sow and reap, but you're also going to tear down and you're going to burn. And that's a difficult balance. To be positive and negative at the same time and to build up and to tear down the things that need to be torn down. But that was the work. That's what he's called to do. Verse 10, I've appointed you this day. Now go do it. Nothing's changed. You see, God's still the God of heaven. God's still the one who knows us before we're ever born. God's the one who has the work that needs to be accomplished in this world, and it's still his work. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy. Whose work was that? It was the Son of God's. All authority has been given to me. This is the job you're to do. Mark chapter 16, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Again, God speaking through the Son. The I Am is our theme for Last of Leaders in Exodus chapter 3. It says, I've got a work for you to do. And a lot of other things are going to cross our paths. But the work of God is the center of everything that we do. Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, as Jesus ascends back into heaven, he says, look, go to Jerusalem and wait. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to become witnesses. You're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. That's the work. That's what I've commissioned you to do. Nothing's changed. We, like Jesus, are to do the work of the one who sent us. I want you to turn to the book of John. We're going to start in chapter 4 and look at a couple of passages through the book. John chapter 4, verse 34. The disciples have returned. Jesus is there talking to the Samaritan woman. We brought you something to eat. Verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Chapter 5, verse 30. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Chapter 6, verse 38. I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 17, verse 4. I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. If there's anybody in all of history that has the right, the authority, the power to say, you know, I'm going to do it my way, it would be the Son of God. And yet he said repeatedly, I didn't come to do my work. I didn't come to do my will. I didn't come to do things my way. I came to do exactly what the Father told me to do. If you follow that train, John 4, 5, 6, and then 17, you'll notice that by saying those things, it allows him to say in John chapter 19, it is finished. I did the work. Let me explain something to every one of us, myself included. We're not here to satisfy self. As long as we seek to satisfy ourselves, we will never be happy. We're not here to do my thing. I'm here to do His thing. And it is only through doing His thing, doing His will, doing His work, that I'm complete, that I'll be satisfied.
Evidence of that is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. That's the one that will be satisfied. So when I am here to satisfy Him, when I'm here to do His work, when I am consumed by it, then and only then am I satisfied. So Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, I've considered everything there is to consider. And the conclusion is this: fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. It's not about my work. It's not about what I think I'm going to get the most out of in this life, but it's about His work. And then the third thing God tells Jeremiah, it's not about you, because I'm the one providing the power. I'm the one providing the help. When Jeremiah had a doubt, I'm too young to do this, I'm just a child, God had an answer: don't worry about it. I'm going to tell you what to say. I'm going to protect you every step you take. Sound like Moses? Burning bush. Moses, here I am. All right, I need you to go to Egypt. Oh, no. I can't talk. I can't do this. I can't do that. God said, I got it under control. I'm the power behind this. Now then, take my word and go do my work, because I'm the one giving you the power to do it. God was the one providing deliverance. Going back to Jeremiah chapter 1, looking at verse 8. Do not be afraid of them. I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. He was the one providing the results. Verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. I'm watching over my word to perform it. Verse 15 and 16. I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord. They will come. They will set each one his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem and against its walls round about it and against all the cities of Judah. And I will pronounce my judgment on them concerning their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods and worshiped the works with their own hands. I'm going to provide the results. I'm going to provide the protection. Verses 18 and 19. I've made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, its princes, its priests, to the people of the land. And they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you. Again, nothing's changed. The same God sits in heaven. God is the same one still providing the results. Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And he said, man, you're arguing over who's this and who's that and who's this and who's that. He gets to chapter 3 and he says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is Peter? He said, one of us planted, one of us watered, and God gave the increase. God was the power behind the good work. God is the one providing the power. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or imagine. He's the power source. He's the one providing the answers. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence which we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request with which we have asked from Him. If we take the Word of God, and we are about the work of God, God will always provide the help. And God will always provide the answer. We can plant and we can water and we can let Him give the increase, and the glory goes back to Him. Here's the thing though, back to Jeremiah chapter 1. Since it was never about Jeremiah, since it was always about what God wanted done and how God wanted it done and when He wanted it done, God warned him. God says in verse 17, gird up your loins and arise, speak to them all which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them, lest I dismay you before them. God said, go do what I told you to do. or you're going to have to answer to me. Jeremiah gets it. Jeremiah gets it to the point that he understands it's not about him, so that in chapter 20 and verse 9, he said, when I got frustrated, when I got tired of it, when I decided I wasn't going to say the name of God anymore and I wasn't going to preach anymore, he said, I found it to be a fire trapped in my bones, consuming me from the inside out. Nothing's changed. We are free to choose. We've got the word, we've got the work, we've got the help. It's up to us what we do with it. But since it's not about us, if we're not going to take the word, if we're not going to do the work, if we're not going to use the power, we better be prepared to pay the price. It's not about you. It's not about what makes you happy. It's not about how many times you can get yourself on Instagram, how many tweets you can get out a day, how many posts you have. It's not about me. Larry Arnold said it again. I happened just to walk by as he and Julian were talking the other night, and something he and I had talked about before, and he had said it the day he was here for our worship seminar. When it comes to the kingdom of Christ, there's no place for an ego. It's never about the song leader. It's never about the preacher. It's about God. Everything we do has to point back to Him. Let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father. It's not about me. Therefore, there should be a burning desire that you cannot contain to fulfill His ministry in you. Take the word and run with it. Take the work and work at it as hard as you possibly can. Whatever you find to do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord. And He'll empower you to accomplish much for Him. We live in a self-centered world. Don't get caught up in it. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't put your eyes on yourself. And you'll be more satisfied, you'll be happier, you'll be more productive. And when this life is over, you'll be more rewarded. So we stand and sing.